He says, men, you see on the outer appearance, it looks the same. It's a sandy soil. And one will build his house on the sand. But yet, another will come and dig away the sand, excavate the sand, and go down a few feet, if need be, until he hits solid rock, and then build his house. And then when the winter storms approach, the impact of which will not destroy the home. And may we say right here, that if any life is to have the stability which Christ can only give, then it must be built unmistakably in thought and act upon Christ, and Christ alone at the beginning. I have said this so you might have this information in your mind as a preface to the message of the evening. And for this, we turn to the book of Daniel. I wonder how many Bibles we have tonight. Would you lift them up high? Very fine. You are bringing your Bibles, and that is good. We turn to Daniel 3 with the background of which we have spoken already. And we find our text. Daniel chapter 3. And Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. An image that was some 90 feet tall and some 9 feet in circumference. And he set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Now, if you will remember, this is about the year 580 B.C. It is the 18th year of the reign of King Nebuchadnezzar. And he erects an image and he places it in the plain of Dura, or rather in the province of Dura, in the province of Babylon. And we find here, even today, that there are a number of images that still remain. And especially as archaeologists have excavated, they have found a number of images. And it is believed that this image of which the king Nebuchadnezzar erected, 90 feet tall, was from the base up to the midsection in a circular shape. And then from the midpoint up to the top was in the form of a human being. And as we read that he made an image of gold, it's believed by many that it was only gold plated. An image 90 feet tall and 9 feet in circumference, or diameter rather, would be certainly one that would contain a lot of gold. Generally believed that it was a gold plated image. But nevertheless, the king had sent out by way of his counselors and other people working with him to invite many people. The scripture tells us they were to invite the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, and all the rulers of the province to come to the great dedication of this image. And I can see them now as they all appear before the king at this great dedication feast. And I can see the king as he gives the signal. And as an individual comes up and as he reads the scroll, he reads these words. To you it is commanded, all peoples and nations and languages, that every time you hear the sound of a cornet and the flute and the harp and all kinds of musical instruments, that you bow down and you worship the image which the king, King Nebuchadnezzar, has erected. And he rolls his scroll into its original position and takes his seat on the platform. And then the king stands in all of his majesty and glory, with his robe flowing and with his golden scepter, perhaps. And he gives another signal. And then from all around us, we hear the sound of all of these musical instruments, and immediately, everybody bows down. They bow down to an image. But it's not long before word is sent to the king that there are three people who are not bowing down. What should we do with them? The scripture tells us, as you read a few verses from where your eyes are now, that they are to be summoned in. And they are brought in. And the king tells them what is to happen if they do not bow at the time they hear the musical instrument sounding forth. And once again, to give them another chance, he gives the signal and all the musical instruments sound forth, and everybody bows down, save Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Three Hebrew children, three young men, who were dedicated to their Jehovah God. Now they had character, and they stood up for what they believed to be right. You recall the story, you might just finish the story for the sake of continuity. How did they, as refusing to bow down as they are placed in the fiery furnace. And I would imagine that the door isn't even closed, because we're told that the flames come out and actually slew the men that are ushering these three men into the fiery furnace. And perhaps as the door is not closed, the king waits for the cries and the screams that he is accustomed to hearing. Hearing them not, he walks over and he sees Shadrach. And there's Meshach and Abednego, and there's a fourth. And the fourth seems to be like the Son of the Living God. It alarms him. He immediately calls for them, and they're brought out. And we all rush over to them to see what happens, because we realize that we actually have experienced a miracle. A miracle has taken place right before our eyes. As we look at these men, we find that the hair on their head is not singed. We find that they do not even smell like they've been in the fire. And then, to our amazement, we hear these words from our king. The king said these words, "Therefore I make a decree," find it in verse 29, "as it is recorded that every people and nation and language which speak anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be killed. Our houses shall be torn down, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort." Three men of God who had what they believed to be true, in that they had a faith in their Jehovah God. And they stood up for Jehovah God. And they stood up because they stood in Christ. They stood in God. We today stand up for Christ because we stand in God. And their day, they had Jehovah God. And they had God manifesting Himself to them through various mediums and revelations. And they stood up for God. And it was because of their character that they had. And I would imagine that perhaps one of them said these words. We find it recorded in the 118th Psalm, verse 6. "The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. For what can man do unto me?" As a Christian tonight, God is on your side. And what in the world can mankind, what can society do to you as a Christian when God is on your side? And I believe they stood up for their Lord that day. And this is, as we recognize tonight, that if we build our life on anything other than the sure foundation of God, then when that day comes, when we encounter the flood, when the muddy waters of doubt come our way, when the sudden desire pierce our hearts, and the rushing current of unforeseen events and temptations come, we will not fall. We'll be like the Empire State Building, firmly grounded. If you've been out in West Texas, I'm sure that you're accustomed to seeing a lot of tumbleweed. And if you know anything about a tumbleweed, you know that if there is an east wind, the tumbleweed will tumble west. In other words, if the wind is blowing south, the tumbleweed will tumble south. And the tumbleweed has nothing to cling to, nothing to anchor itself to. And consequently, when the winds blow, it just drifts to and fro. Unlike the tumbleweed, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but like the Empire State Building, as we spoke of in our introduction. And for the remaining moments that remain, I want you to remember two things, and I want you never to forget them. Two things that characterize the foundation of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in one fifth. They were fearless. They were fearless because they were daring. Look at verse 16 of this third chapter. And we find Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter." You see, they were on trial. They stood up, and with their boldness, because they were daring, and because they characterized that in their life which was fearless, They said, we are not even careful to answer thee in this matter. They dare to stand up for God. I wonder tonight, do we dare to stand up for Christ? They dare to stand up for a principle that was true. Do we dare to stand up for that which is true, that which is truth? Christ said he was the truth. Today, the one thing that is needed on the part of our Christian young people is to take a stand for Christ. To stand up for the Lord. He once stood up for them and for you tonight.